Right, now, you were just telling me you went to see if you could join the orchestra.
And she said, yes, I could. And she said, would you like to join the Leicester Symphony Orchestra? And that's how I got into that. Which it started about a year before that. It had just started. So then I went to the Symphony Orchestra, and they had rehearsals on Sunday mornings or afternoons. Sometimes at 10 o'clock in the morning and sometimes 2 o'clock in the afternoon for 3 hours. And Malcolm Sargent was the conductor then. It was just after he qualified as a conductor, and he was very young then. It was when he lived at Melton Mowbray and was the organist of Melton Mowbray Church. And he conducted right through to the Second World War. Even when he went to London, he still came down and conducted the symphony orchestra. But then he got much too busy in the Second World War. He was becoming very well known then. He was Dr. Malcolm Sargent then, not knighted.
You led a very busy life.
Yes, I did, yes.
Did you have time to mix with youngsters of your own age?
Well, yes, a bit, yes. Mainly through things at the church, you know, as I've mentioned before, like little dances and things of that sort.
Where did you go? If you went out, did you ever go to the pictures?
Oh, yes, I did, yes. I went to the Evington Cinema quite a bit, and I used to go to things in Leicester, you know, cinemas and also any theatrical things that went on, or amateur dramatics and musical dramatics and that sort of thing, which, you know, there was, like, as there is now, there were various societies that gave annual performances, perhaps at the Opera House sometimes. They were. My mother took part in two lots of Leicester amateurs then. One was called Rip Van Winkle, and I was quite a little girl then. And La Poupée, I forget who was the composer of that. Those were the two that she took part in. I have some photographs of her in her costumes.
Were there anywhere in Highfield that the amateur dramatic societies ever put on performances?
I don't think so, no, not really. I suppose probably a lot of people who lived in Highfields district might be in them, but I don't think they took place in the district.
Yeah, did you ever go down to the Five Ways Cinema on Melbourne Road?
I've got an idea. I played there once or twice, not regularly, but I knew one or two. You know, in those days it was silent films and they had orchestras, you see, and I've got an idea there was a trio or something, violin, cello and piano, that played at the Melbourne Cinema, and I think I went and deputised once or twice for them, either when they were ill or when they went on holiday or something.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that.
My father also played for the silent films. He played at somewhere called the Empire in Wharf Street off Humberston Road. Don't suppose that's there now, but they did have films there, and then it turned into more like a music hall, and he still played there with one or two other men. Violin and cello and I think it was an organ or something like that.
What sort of music did you play? Did they play at those occasions?
Well, with the silent films, they tried to fit the music to the...
Yeah.
You had chase music for cowboys and Indians.
Right, now you were telling me about the music that was played for the silent films.
Yes, well, as I say, they used to try to fit to the things that were going on, And of course they had to sort of switch from one piece to another rather quickly sometimes, because the scene would change.
Yeah.
I suppose it had some nice sentimental music for the love scenes.
But that I can understand if you were just playing a piano, but if you're playing in a trio...
Yes.
How did you three of you, manage to play the same thing?
Yes, I've got an idea that they would probably... you see, I was never... I didn't ever play in these sort of things regularly, so I didn't know all the background, but I imagine that possibly the musical director would have to see the film through and decide what to play, and they would cut from one piece to the next rather quickly, and I don't know that they would have to change from one copy to another rather quickly, but and of course it was easy enough if it was only a pianist. My father did quite a bit of doing it by just playing alone, and of course he would be able to switch over without bothering about the music, I suppose. But when it's two or three people together, it's not quite so easy, is it?
No, it isn't, no.
But as far as I remember, that's how they did. They tried to play suitable music for the changes of scene.
Yeah, and the music hall that your father played in, would that have been sort of music hall songs?
Yes.
That
yes,
type of thing?
Yes, yeah. Yes, that's right, yes.
Fairly. What sort of customers went there then, to the music hall? Do you know?
What
sort of customers? Who patronised the...
I don't know about that. I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
I didn't know. I didn't realise that we had a music hall, actually.
Well, the Palace, I think, was definitely a music hall, because they had some quite well-known people. Vesta Tilly was a male impersonator. She's spoken of nowadays, I know. I can't remember all the people by name, but that was definitely a music hall, because you were either top of the bill, or I think you were either the top of the bill, or if you were at the bottom, you were the next best. And the also rans were in the middle.
In the small print.
Yeah. But the Opera House, I think, that was. Don't think that was ever a music hall. I think it was... not quite sure what they did regularly, but they certainly had opera... I mean, Doyle Carte and people like that would come to the Opera House. They wouldn't go to the De Montfort Hall in those days. Quite rightly, it wasn't a theatre, and we're hoping it's going to turn into one now, aren't we? But I think they had opera companies coming down for a week, you see, and doing one or two operas. And I really don't know in any detail. I didn't really have a great deal to do with. Oh, they used to have ballet there. I did once play for a ballet company there for a week. What was it called? Not the Ballet Rambert, but one of the quite well-known ones. I remember doing Swan Lake from the Tchaikovsky Swan Lake. They did that. And the usual ballets, and they were very good. Because you couldn't see very much of what was going on when you were playing, and down in the pit...
Yeah, that's really interesting. When you finished your college at Manchester,
yes,
what did you do then?
Well, I still continued playing various things in Leicester, and I did more teaching, I suppose. And then I used to go away from Leicester sometimes to play in other orchestras. I went to Lincoln quite regularly. About three times a year, one or two people from Leicester went, and one or two from Nottingham, to boost up their orchestra that they'd got. We gave one orchestral concert in October, and then the Messiah just before Christmas in the cathedral, and then the St. Matthew Passion also in the cathedral about a week before Easter, you know, a week before Palm Sunday. And that was a regular thing. That was very nice, because it's a beautiful cathedral, and it sounds very good in there.
Yeah.
They had players from all over the place mixed up.
So music became your, apart from your love, your job of work?
Yes. I still went on playing after I got married, but not to the same extent. And then Olga was born the year before, year after I was married. And but I still played in the symphony orchestra all the time, and my husband was very interested in that. He played in that, and was also the secretary of the symphony orchestra for a good many years. Worked with Sargent about the concert programmes and that sort of thing. So
was that how you met your husband, in the orchestra?
Yes, it was really. Yes, through music, really. Yes.
Yeah.
He was a printer in Bowling Green Street. His father's father and brother had the business before him, just opposite, nearly opposite Bishop Street, next door to Morgan Squires, as it was then. Is it still there?
I don't know. I don't know Leicester that well.
It used to go through to Market Street.
I don't know. Actually,
I thought it was still there.
Mm.
I don't know.
No. You said you got married at St Peter's Church.
Yes.
What year was that?
1933.
And did you stay in Leicester then?
Or yes,
did you move away?
I went to live in Guildford Road. Stonygate. Do you know where
Yes. Yeah, and you were
and
still...
I lived there till I came here.
To Quenneborough?
We came out here about 23 years ago.
Oh, right, yeah. And you all this time you remained involved with the Symphony Orchestra? Yes.
Yes, one way or another.
Yes.
I taught at the Wiggiston Girls' School for a long time.
Did you?
I went to help them out in the Second World War, when the person who was teaching faded out for some reason or other, and I was asked if I would go and help them out temporarily, and then I stayed 20 odd years, but not full time, of course. It was only part time. I used to visit certain days of the week. And so I enjoyed that very much.
Mm.
But otherwise, and I kept on playing, of course, but not as much as I did before I was married.
Yeah.
Can't do everything, can you?
No, no. Can we go right back now?
Yeah.
Back to when you were a young girl,
about
10 or 11. Can you remember what it was like to actually live where you lived? You know, what the street looked like and what the people were like around you?
Yes. Well, it was, I've described the house that I lived in, and there was quite a long row of those. I can't tell you how many. It didn't start quite at the corner of Sparkenhoe Street. There was a little bit of packs of houses from the other street, I think. But then there was quite a long piece of all these bay-windowed houses, quite nice styled houses, not quite as far as Oxendon Street, but nearly. And then there were one or two quite different style houses before Oxendon Street. But the other side was quite different. They were smaller houses and right on the street. No, I forgot to say that the others were palisaded or whatever they called them. Then they had a small bit of garden at the front and a hedge or a fence or something. I think the fences that they had when I was a small child were iron ones, which had to be removed in the First World War to be used. And then they had little walls and wooden fences or something like that instead. But the others were smaller houses on the other side, mainly smaller, and they were right on the street. We had some quite nice neighbours. I can't remember a great deal about them, really. another one or two musical people along there as well. There was a man who was a Swiss, and he played the violin and the viola and played in the symphony orchestra. Rather a flamboyant gentleman.
Were there children of your age down there?
I was trying to think. Were not many close to. The girl who used to call for me every morning to go to Melbourne Road School, she lived in Stoughton Street, higher up, nearer to Sparkenhoe Street, and so she and one or two others up there I knew. But there weren't any just round us, I think. There seemed to be more older people there.
Mm. Was it a street of working people, you know, or professional people, would you say?
Well, a bit of both, really. The ladies next door to us, the daughters next door to us, both worked. One worked in, I think it was Poole Lorimer's factory. I can't remember what the other one did, but she certainly did go out to work. And then there were the elderly parents who lived there. The house on the other side, I can't remember who was there when I was very small, but later on a family came and they had several daughters and sons. Nice people, but they weren't my age, you know, they were different ages.
Mm.
So that weren't such a lot of neighbours that we...
No.
I think there were some girls a bit lower down the street on our side, called Colin. I think the family were decorators or something, and they went through from one street to the next so that their decorating premises were at the back.
Yeah. Did you ever play out on the street?
Did I?
Did you ever play out on the street?
Not very much, I think. I don't think it was thought a good idea to do that.
No.
There was plenty of gardens to play in, though, so yes. I did have quite a few games there.
Yeah.
It sounds as if I didn't have much of a childhood, but I did. But I can't remember anything much of interest, really, until I got older.
It was obviously a happy childhood then.
Yeah.
If nothing stands out.
No.
Do you remember the tannery that was just down, further down from where you lived? Briggs's Tannery. Do you remember it? Was it working when you were living there?
Don't remember it.
Huge.
I remember Taylor Hobson's factory in Evington Street.
Yeah. At the bottom?
Yeah. Nearly.
Yes.
I know. I was talking to somebody about that the other day. It isn't there now, is it? Or it's not, certainly not used.
It's gone.
Because I know somebody who works for Taylor Hobson's somewhere else in Leicester, wherever it is now. Mm. Oh, yes, it's... oh, dear, no. Came past somewhere, I think, the other day that it was pointed out to me. But that was... an interesting thing that happened... I don't know what year it was... I should think it might be during the First World War. We had King George V and Queen Mary to visit Taylor Hobson's factory, and they came right past our back entrance. So we had a platform of some sort made underneath some trees that grew at the bottom, and we had a beautiful view of them going by. Queen Mary with her parasol and her toque. I don't remember the colour, but I should think it was pale pink or something like that. And that was quite an adventure, and quite a lot of people came and joined us, you know, so that they could see.
Yeah. You don't remember what the occasion was? What it was?
No, I can't remember. As I say, they did come to see to the Taylor Hobson's factory. It might have been just to do... That might have been the main thing. There has been accounts of that in the papers, you know, from time to time, when they've been writing about things of the period, but I don't remember where else they went. But you know how it is now, they go just to two or three places, don't they? And then I remember the Queen coming to open the Queen's Hall at university, and then she went to the De Montfort Hall, and Mother and I had tickets through my husband. He managed to get two tickets, and we went to see that. That's the only time I've seen the Queen in person. I saw George the Sixth and Queen Elizabeth once. I saw them near the Victoria Park gates, but I don't know quite where they went. Might have been something to do with the university, but that was much later on.
Well, let's go back. Did you ever go shopping with your mum when you were little?
Yes, I expect so.
Can you remember any of the shops that you went to?
I used to go to Lee's in Humberston Gate. Now, where would that be now? It was opposite where Lewis's was, I think. Near the Bell Hotel. The Bell Hotel was on that side then. Mm. That's not there now, is it? That was a good shop. And my grandmother used to go to Grice's in and Cordell's in High Street. They were just past Lloyd's Bank. I think Grice's is there now, but I don't know what it's called. No, I can't remember what. It changed its name, but it's still there. And I remember them putting money in little boxes and pulling a string, and it ran along to the cash desk in the middle. That was rather fun.
Yeah.
As a child, I remember that.
It was always draper's shops that had those, yes, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. If your mum did her food shopping, did she buy that locally?
Her what?
Food.
Well, she used to go to the co-op in Conduit Street, latterly, but I can't remember. Oh, my grandmother went into Leicester to do shopping to a shop called Johnson's at the Clock Tower. It's not quite at the corner of Churchgate. It was just that little bit. There was a Wands Chemist's on the corner. It changed to Timothy White later on, but it was Johnson's, the what do they call it, food and provisions or something. I remember going there with her, and you sat down and gave your order to them, and then they sent it to you. I did that later on after I was married at Raymond's, because they did. Raymond's was at the corner of Harford Street, I think. Rutland Street, opposite the Grand Hotel. That was a very nice provision shop. Mm-hmm. And you could sit down and give your order there.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
Yeah. Now, they used to say that streets had a shop on every corner. Were there any shops on Evington Street where you lived?
Yes, wait a minute. Now, there was there was a greengrocer's at the corner of Evington Street and Oxenden Street on the same side as where we lived, and another one across the road on the same on the corner of Oxenden Street, but not actually on, yes, it would be Evington Street as well. I think that was everything, you know.
Yeah. No fish and chip shops?
Well, I think there was one further down.
Yeah.
The next corner down.
Yeah.
But seemed to be some doubt about that.
Tell me something else. Did you ever have to go to see a doctor?
Yes, we went to the doctor in Evington Road, corner of St. Stephen's Road. No, St. James Road. And I went there, we had the doctor who was one of the practice, later came to live more in the Stonygate area. But we used to go to a Dr. Shearer in Abington Road at the corner, and it was Shearer, McNaughton and somebody, forget what. Mm.
Did they make house calls?
Yes, definitely, yes.
Yeah.
What was a Scotsman.
Yeah. Was he nice?
Yes, I think so, yes.
Yeah. What about a dentist? Did you get taken to the dentist?
I can't remember where I went to first. I went to one or two different dentists. I went to Bowman's in Humberston Road at one time. That was later on. I don't remember where I went very early on or whether I went anywhere. No, I don't remember much about dentists.
No.
Till later on, and then I went very regularly.
Yeah. Did you have pets at home?
Oh, dogs, yes.
Did you?
We had... when I was a little girl, we had a mongrel Irish terrier called Mac, who was rather fun. Then later on, my father had, one after the other, he had black retrievers. And the first one was called Jack, because I think he had his name was Jack when we had him. He wasn't a puppy. But the others were puppies, and my father named them both Sultan. Sultan the first, Black Prince, you see, and Sultan the second. They were great fun.
Mm.
They used to do all sorts of tricks.
Mm.
We didn't do much with cats, and I don't like cats to this day. I don't know whether that's why, but I have a thing about cats. I don't like them much.
Did you ever need a vet?
I must have done, I should think, but I don't remember one. I don't remember anything about it.
You don't. There used to be a vet on the corner of Lincoln Street, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
On the Sparking Hoe Street corner?
Mm.
Oh. No, I don't remember that. There was a doctor on the top side corner. It was next to the doctor's where I went for my violin lessons, the second lot.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the doctor's name was now, but we didn't have that. I'm sure we didn't have that doctor. Yeah. Knew quite a lot of people in Lincoln Street, just vaguely, but...
Can you remember the trams coming to Highfields?
Where was that?
They used to run up Melbourne Road.
No, I don't think so.
You don't remember the trams running up Melbourne Road?
No.
No? So if you wanted to get into town...
Yes.
Did you walk?
I think so, usually. It wasn't really awfully far, you know. Down Sparking Hoe Street, you were at the station, you see, and then it's not... You're in the town nearly, aren't you?
Yeah.
No, I don't think we used... Of course, there were tram cars when... we used to go to... Stonygate Terminus from somewhere on the London Road, sometimes for a tram ride on Sunday nights. That was quite nice.
Mm.
They had open topped tram cars then. Those that you push the seat the other way when you're coming back, and they used to have the trolley things that they walked round with.
Yeah.
But they're not all that far back though, are they? Not so far back as my childhood, really.
No, perhaps not, no.
I'd be older then, I think.
Yeah. All right, let's check. At the corner of
Saxby Street, the Sparking Hoe Street end, until it was bombed in the Second World War, there was a church there. It was called Saxby Street Methodist, I think, or it was a Methodist church anyhow, with a little hall fixed to it, you know. And I don't think the hall, actually, was bombed altogether, and it turned itself into a partly into a school, but there is a little sort of prefabricated kind of school, isn't there now?
Well, it's a new school now. A new school.
A really new one, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I haven't been that way very much for a long time. The last time I went down Evington Street was certainly since my husband died. It would be perhaps 12 years ago, something like that. I was playing at the little theatre for a show for the week, and we had a matinee in the afternoon, and there was a lot of time to kill in between, and not really time to go home to Guildford Road. And I thought, oh, I'll go and see what they're doing up there now. And of all things, I walked from the Sparkenhoe Street end, and the first house that was pulled down was number 44. My house. They hadn't pulled, I don't know whether they're still all there as far as that. Could be. Mm-hmm.